Welcome to Piercing the Veil on BBSRadio.com, a show for truth seekers and rebels. Join us every week as we obliterate willful ignorance, corruption, globalist agendas, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific, and listen carefully as we provide crucial solutions, information awareness, and unique life hacks to improve our planet. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
Okay, greetings world. Welcome back to another episode of Piercing the Veil. I have a live episode for you today, Sunday, April 16th, 2017. So-called Easter, if you will, for some people. For most of the cool cats here, we're doing our own thing on this absolutely normal day, just like any other. And so for those of you that are listening, I applaud you for going your own independent way. Got a lot of good stuff to talk about today. We're going to catch up a little bit on current events. And then we have a special guest. Her name is Sandy Sparkles Castillo. She's a local Texas workshop person and has a very unique background. She does fairy adventures and fairy workshops. And I alluded to some of this in my past episode, so you guys can go and listen to that as well. I'll let her explain what she does in better detail when we're done talking about current events. First of all, I want to welcome back Corey to the show. I think he's actually got some exciting news. Corey, can you drop your information bomb on us real quick, just briefly, and then save the meat of it for next week's episode, because we're going to do Let's Build a Community, and we've got Ross Diot, a former guest, and we've also got Apollo Wilson secured for next week, so it's going to be a sort of like a forum discussion. So that being said, you go ahead and drop what you've got going on, your new news, and then I'll talk about the current events, and we'll bring Sandy right in. We'll get going with the show, okay?
All right. Can you hear me?
I can. You sound crystal clear.
All right, good. Well, I actually wasn't expecting to be on this call. I just got into Idaho with I'm visiting a friend of mine, and they are in the midst of planting tens of thousands of sagebrush plants in a large reclamation effort. So I think there was some overgrazing, and then there was some fire and stuff, and so the areas had a lot of problems. It affects various species, sage grouse and elk and a bunch of different animal species. So I'm up here up in Idaho, and literally I just got here. Haven't even seen my boy yet. And so I'll be digging into that a little bit, see how that goes. did a little journeying last week, and I guess it'll be good next week when we have more discussion on intentional community.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like you're doing a lot of things at once and going with the flow, if you will.
Exactly.
Well, make sure to take good notes for us, if you will, and maybe ask him, you know, some of the, if he's just a single operation, that's fine, but still he's going to have some obstacles that he ran into, whether it be with local people, ordinances, codes, government regulations, so on and so forth, or anything that you could perceive as a difficulty. Let's find out what he went through trying to start up or operate a large-scale venture. Okay.
Sure, absolutely.
So maybe take some notes there. Okay, cool. All right, in other news, I know a lot of people were freaking out about the end of the world, which happens every couple of years, right on schedule. It would appear, unless something else happens, it would appear that North Korea is sort of backed down from their threats, which I either expected to happen or I expected everybody to start lobbing missiles at each other and those things get neutralized in midair, or perhaps before they even started. Because as we've discussed previously, that's happened so many different times, it's ridiculous to even try to count it. A lot of times we don't even know about. How many times do you think has there been that somebody's just like, okay, fuck these guys, let's push the button. And they push the button thinking they're launching some sort of ICBM towards an enemy country, and then all of a sudden nothing happens. And it's because the UFOs have come over there, and on their video, of their surveillance video, they can see them shoot a beam down on the cap of the silo and straight through and penetrates the missile, and then boom, it's gone, or it's deactivated. So, I mean, that's actually congressional testimony. People that have testified before Congress that held positions as missile control operators with high security clearances, CIA contractors, retired generals, so on and so forth, have talked about this. It's just not just good old Jordan and his crazy self. Okay. All right. So I don't see it happening. It's not going to happen. And now it even appears even more so that we're not going to have to worry about that. So what I had questions on are what really is going on within the Trump administration. I'm still not too clear on that. It does appear that perhaps Trump is now a little bit more aware of how they're trying to play his ass. And he's sort of, maybe that left a bad taste in his mouth, and he sort of did some damage control and skated out just barely. And then with the dropping of the mother of all bombs, I have something to say about this. Yeah, you don't want to drop bombs on people if you can figure it out. But if it's to the point where they're going to drop a bomb on somebody or a group or whatever, and it's infrastructure that we created, the CIA created Tora Bora. The CIA created in the 80s all those caves and those infrastructures, the factions of the CIA that Trump is now fighting. So people are like saying, oh, well, you know, Julian Assange is like, oh, well, those tunnels were created by the CIA. Well, yeah, it was. By parts that are now trying to dethrone Trump and put in a globalist stooge in his place, they are the ones that are behind this, along with the Mossad and the other agencies. And so for him to be blowing up their tunnels and be like, okay, guys, this is enough. I know exactly where you are and where you've been. We're going to start taking it out. That's good for me. I like that. That's great. It's out in the middle of the desert. It's not a populated area. I mean, maybe a goat farmer here or there, but those guys are known to duck and run, you know, and get the fuck out of the area. It's not like it's a populated town. So I don't have that big of a problem with it. What I do have a problem with, Corey, is when people start bitching about the price. They're like, oh my God, that bomb costed $100 million and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, yes, it did. But that was $100 million that has already been spent. Unless you can somehow magically unmake that bomb and all of its fissionable material and turn it into flowers or candy or food, then stop bitching about the price. It's a good that's already been made. It's already in the economy.
And it's meant, it was meant to be blown up.
It was meant to be blown up, and it's just sitting there as government waste. It is an asset that is just sitting there unused. So what is Trump really doing when he fires off the 59 cruise missiles that haven't been fired in so long? And when he fires off the mother of all bombs, what is he doing? He's getting liquidating unused stock. He's getting brownie points from all the other people. He's getting positioning and strength and power. He's sending messages. He's getting beneficial assets by the use of that bomb with minimal loss of life, if any, besides people who have committed their cause of terrorism. And he's also liquidating government stock that's just sitting there on the books. So, yeah, congratulations. Good job. Right, I still think there's plenty of people that could run the country better than him, and I still believe that there's powers that exist above the president who's, you know, restricted in his effectiveness, if you will. And so it's a catch 22. But like we said, Corey, the universe is a mix of everything, nothing, and something all at once. Okay, so you see those quantum levels of how the U.S. corporation is a bad thing, but it's also a good thing. It could be, or you know, how government control is a bad thing, but it could be a good thing if it's local county government ruled by the people for the people. In each county, people come together and say, we want this, and until we change our mind, we want this, enforce it, right? So there's levels of goodness and badness. And speaking of levels, that's pretty much all I wanted to say on current events. But speaking of levels, consciousness acts sort of like a radio frequency tuner to tune into different levels of available frequency or consciousness realms, if you will. And some people call those dimensions. And so a lot of people, when they take psychedelics or even when they reach a normal altered state like meditation, they can report interacting with certain entities and talking about or talking with them, remembering guidance, all sorts of stuff like that. So why is it so? And this is an experience that's happened to many people, especially people on DMT. Like the DMT experience is just unequivocal scientific proof that the person's not having a hallucination. They're actually leaving their body and actually communicating in a different realm with entities that are similar, have been described similar to shape shifting machine elves spitting out information and weird noises. You know, Terrence McKenna talks about stuff like that. So the topic of our show today now is fairies and multidimensionality, and the what I would call an expert. Most people say you have to have years of experience and all these certifications to be an expert. No, expertism is gained through practicality and personal experience. So I am dubbing her, unless she objects, our resident Texas expert on fairies in the fairy realm. And without further ado, we're going to welcome our guest on, Sandy Sparkle Castillo. And welcome to the show, Sandy. Sandy,
here,
are you there?
Thank you for having me.
Ah, there you are. Perfect.
Can you hear me now?
I can, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Jordan, for having me on. And sure, I'll take that title, the resident expert on fairies. I seem to be the only one speaking and talking about them and blogging about them. And so I am thrilled to be able to share, you know, a little bit more about them for your audience and for anybody out there who's interested.
Yes, definitely. It seems like you've got the market share on the whole the fairy fairy market there. So I'm really super interested in this, and I've actually, just a caveat, I've attended one of your fairy experience walks at the last Medicine for People. I think it was about 6-7 months ago. And of course, we met up in the most recent Medicine for the People gathering in Goodrich. So, and I just had a wonderful time. You're an awesome person. So could you tell our listeners a little bit about how you got started, or I guess what else is it that you do in your life and how you got started into this, and maybe just in your own way, give us a breakdown of this type of thing that you're doing.
Wow, that's a big question. And yeah, please excuse me, I'm almost home. I got stuck in traffic coming home from Austin. I was teaching at a retreat. But yes, fairies are real, and they're everywhere. And what happens is it just really depends upon the person. I always like to say how clear they are, how conscious they are, how grounded they are, and how open and accepting they are to receiving messages. And then what happens is, on the fairy realm, they have to decide too, because they can see you. They know what's happening.
Yeah.
They have to decide if you're worthy, kind of like if you're worthy. Like, do I want her to see me? You know, do I want to leave a message? Do I want to leave flowers? You know, how exactly is this going to happen? So it's kind of a meeting in between. So when you talk about piercing the veil, you know, it takes two to tango, obviously. So for me, in like one sentence for creating fairy experiences is part of a business I call Cultural Meditation Tours. And so it's about helping people experience things like this on their own, so they don't have to just read about it or wonder about it or scoff at it or, you know, make fun of it. I want them to be in a place and be guided so that they can have their own experience and come in. And if anything, it actually shows them and reveals to them what kind of inner work they still need to do. Because so many people, you know, consider themselves in the self-help phase, or they're following different gurus or this or that, but they haven't really done their own work. So this is about individuality,
right,
and then, you know, just experiencing it for the self and saying, oh, you know, this is a journey that I want to go on. I want to go deeper. What else can I do? And that's where I come in.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it seems like you're facilitating, which is sort of the modern shamanism facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with what you said, and we'll have Corey chime in here in a second, but I believe that the independent profile, or the independent what works for that person individually, is what should be developed. So whatever skills or methods of getting into the zone or having this cultural experience like you talked about, there are some guidelines with which the facilitator, i.e. you, can show these people on how to do it. And at the end of the day, they have to tailor it to themselves. And then based on their performance, if they actually perform according to those values or however they want to go about that experience, that lets them present themselves to the fairy realm, if you will, in a way that they can then make the final decision, okay, do we really want to interact with these people and have a contractual interaction agreement of some sort? And I like how you said, are you being worthy? Because, you know, there's a lot of misunderstandings about fairies, even in my own mind, which I'd like to maybe have you clear up as well. I understand that sometimes they've been described as mercurial, not sinister, but in a sense, but sort of like discerning, I guess, is the right term. And yeah. So I would say that they can see through, just like When I say pierce the veil, it's an act that's required because we're being, most people are being somehow hampered with in their natural abilities. If we weren't being interfered with by certain groups of negative factions, which we've already gone into on other shows, then we would all be multidimensional. We would all have a consciousness and remembrance of our all past lives. We would have the abilities that come with all that stuff outside the body and what some of these other types of entities possess. These fairies possess some of these multidimensionality abilities, whether that's to cross back and forth, to interact, to materialize things into midair, to pass messages, as you said before, so on and so forth. So I liken it to us having to pierce the veil because we're under assault or under some sort of contract that kind of went haywire that we weren't ready for most of us. And because we're so powerful, we shine through enough for these entities to go, okay, hey, look, they're about to see us. And these entities on the other side have the ability the whole time to see you constantly, what you're doing, and watch your progress and your growth. And therefore, if they deem you worthy from by that performance and that growth or that meditation or that fairy walk or whatever you have just done, however long or short of a time period it is, I believe that they would then grant you that interaction somehow. Is that your experience?
Yes, and it's different for everybody, and it's different for the areas that they're in. You know, it's different for each person because each person has different karmic and Akashic values. And how they feel and how they see, because it also, you'll be contacted in ways that feel familiar to you, so you don't really have a meltdown or freak out. You know, kind of like in the movie Contact, where she
it does was her dad,
spend time,
even though it was an alien.
Right, and she's with her dad, so, and that was really comfortable for her. And so for the events that I host, they might... They're typically in nature. They might be at Roscoe Chapel. It might be on a labyrinth. I do this at different retreats wherever we are. We walk spirals. And we kind of, you know, it's about us going to see them. It's not them coming to us. It's really kind of being respectful. And it always starts with breath and intention. And when you're together with other people who are like-minded like you, who are really curious, you know, I have everybody turn off their phones, leave their phones. I have them, like, break up with, you know, couples or whatever. It's like, I need you on your own because it's not about someone else. It's about you. And taking some time to really go on that journey. It is a journey. And many people, you know, report back beautiful stories before, during, and after, or getting visited or getting little gifts. Like for instance, I had one of my clients, and we went on an ascension intensive, and she asked me about fairies. And we were in this beautiful area that had no flowers whatsoever. But when we came down, there were some two perfectly plumed flowers just sitting at eye level for me to pick up. And I thought, oh, my goodness, we just got a gift, you know, for her, too, because she has three daughters. And so it's, you know, once even parents and mothers and kids and, you know, different people have different challenges to go through, I think, to really accept the idea that there are other dimensions. And, you know, if they're excited about it or if they want to see something, then they probably will. But it's about the community and it's about affecting each other and saying, yeah, they are real. And why wouldn't they be, you know?
That's right. Yeah. And all I was going to say as well, Sandy, is that, you know, even some of the top, they've got physicists that are researching Bigfoot now. And these guys are postulating that these entities are so hard to find is because they possess the ability. They're riding just outside the line of our visible consciousness. So while they're intertwined with our dimension, their frequency is riding just at the top of that dimension to where they're able to cross into the other higher dimension or whatever and are only seen when they want to be, when they're doing menial tasks or something that requires their solidification of physical energy. And so I believe truly that represents a benchmark for assessing the location of other types of magical creatures. So, yeah, I wholeheartedly believe it's a different dimension. And I wanted to get Corey to weigh in and before we continue and maybe ask you a few questions on that, if he had any. Corey, what do you want to ask Sandy anything about what she said so far?
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to hearing more of her experience. I would just say that, like, anyone who spent any time in nature, you know, away from predominantly man-made environments and stuff, and electricity grids and all of that stuff. I mean, how many, I can't, the countless times that I've seen things out of the corner of my eye. The countless times that, you know, little miraculous, totally unexplainable things like the, you discovering the two flowers. You know, the hairs on the back of your neck rising up for no explainable reason. You know, I mean, on this show we preach into the choir a bit, but I would say there's my experience is that there's more that is unseen than is seen.
True.
So that's basically, that's been my experience. But yeah, I mean, do you, please go in further, and I'd be curious to know if you're aware of, like, for instance, we have different ecosystems on the planet, right? Different kind of geologies. And to your knowledge, are there entities, you know, are there forest entities as opposed to desert entities? You know, I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. If you have any.
That's a great question. Well, in my experience with my retreats and any of the events that I've held, typically, I find fairy groves in beautiful certain types of trees, like an Indian reservation. There was a huge fairy area we were going through and checking it out, and I just kept, it's almost like it's the sparkle, it's the glitter, and it's things that flash and only you see, and the feeling that you're not alone when you are. And then the other thing that happens is I find for different areas that they're closer to the water, like they're beautiful, like inlets that are full of like plant life, that they love that. And then also they'll, I know one experience one lady had, she kept seeing little droplets on the leaves, even though it wasn't raining and there was nothing going on, but she just kept seeing water droplets. And she's like, I know it, you know, I know they're all around me. And then the other one is also, and this one's really rare, this happened to me and a couple of times, a couple of other friends over at Krause Springs, is that they're always there. They just want to leave you clues. Little bubbles, like teeny little bubbles. It's like they'll blow a bubble, and you'll see like this bubble just floating, and it almost just like disintegrates and melts. It's so thin. It's so thin. So those are kind of just some attributes that I found within my fairy experiences where we, actually had more visitations, and more sightings and more experiences, in really rare areas with water, lots of plant life, and just very, sacred. So it's not something that's been trampled through. And then, you know, just really being able to sit down and be clear and I teach people not how to, not just how to look, but to see, and it always starts with closing their eyes because it's not out there. Like, you're not going to see Tinkerbell fly by. It's really about getting clear in your heart, because that's the other wavelengths. Those are the wavelengths that they can see. You know, we're so stuck on this physical level, but it's not everything. I mean, you could, you know, think that you're in the right place at the right time, but you just have all this anger and, or, you know, just resentment in your heart, you're not going to see shit, you know?
Yeah. You gotta be in the right frequency. And I agree with what you said about, not using the eyes, especially I did some research and I haven't had this experience, myself, but I've seen some research on people that have done, DMT and broken through, and they describe the sensation of being able to move their frame of reference, meaning they can turn their head from side to side and everything moves with them. And then they look back and everything that they looked at before is still in the same place. Well, the thing is, these guys have their eyes closed. They don't have their physical eyes open. And I've not on DMT, but other mushrooms and other things, I've had similar experiences where I was able to see objects with my eyes closed, look away, look back, they're still there, open my eyes. And guess what? They're there in real life.
Is your brain, you know, understanding all the different perceptions and, you know, sending that signal. So, yeah, it all starts, it that's why this kind of work is heart work. This isn't brain work. It's trying
right.
to get, and your heart does have brain cells. Your heart has been shown to be the leader. The brain is the one that just kind of breaks it down and, you know, makes it work for you if you need it. But if we could just get people clear enough, and that's what I talk about, is like clear, like in their energy waves, their chakra channels, like any ancestral junk that may be there, fear, resentment, you know, there could be like karmic cords they don't even know about. So that's the kind of work I do. I lead cultural meditation tours to help people kind of see and feel and understand. And then I do intuitive guidance counseling. So I work one-on-one with people to help them kind of get through all that stuff and talk about those things, because there's no one else that they can talk to with situations like this. And so I focus my time specifically on them to help them through their journey so they can get to the next place without going through so much pain and torment.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's beautiful, because I want everybody to be able to see them. That's what I really want. I want a world without cancer, and a world, you know, that this universe gives you exactly what you want. And so if we can help people want to see fairies or want to be healthy and want to be happy, instead of always thinking that it's out there, no, when I get the Porsche, I'll be happy, or when I get the girl, I'll be happy. Uh-huh. No, you have to be happy first.
That's right. You got to be what you're wanting. And that's the thing that's taught out of us or conditioned out of us. I did have a quick question for you, and I agree with everything you said there. Would you describe diet as a major factor in people being able to, like, is diet a major thing for you to try to coach people about in order to come to some sort of state where they can find fairies? Because I would imagine if they're really disharmonic in their diet or having a bunch of problems like that, it might throw them off a little
right.
bit, getting heart-centered.
Yes. That takes time. A lot of times it's with the thought, but thoughts turn to things. And, you know, it's just like giving yourself, giving your car gasoline. If you put green juice in it, it's not going to go anywhere. So, but if you put green juice in your bodies, it's going to go a lot farther. Imagine putting oil in your body, like fast
Ugh.
Food or toxic food or cigarette smoke or alcohol, you know. That is going to cloud your judgment. That's going to cloud everything, and you can't even think about anything happy when you're like that. I mean, I remind people about Diet Coke or Coke.
Jeez.
Why do people still drink that stuff? You know, all the police officers carry it in their car because it works for roadkill. I mean, this is anyway. So there's just yes, it takes time and takes a lot of things, and that's about clearing out their. Any Maya that's kind of stuck in their frequency, that they have repeating mm-hmm. patterns, they're dating the wrong person, they're in the wrong job, whatever that might be. So when you do clear and elevate and ascend, then that feels great. That feels great for everybody.
Yeah,
your relationship,
that's a
your fairies. I'm sorry, go on.
No, you're fine. I was going to say that's a comprehensive thing too. I wanted to go back to, and I'll let Corey touch on this too, but I wanted to go back to what you said earlier about the heart having nerve cells.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that everything is three. There's not duplication. There's not good and evil. Everything is three, including the parts of the human body. So what you have actually is a heart, a brain, mm-hmm. and a stomach. And the heart, brain, and stomach are interconnected, and they are three central nodes of nervous system. They're conglomerated, or they're all centralized around these three different nodes, and they're all interconnected. So in the same fashion of how your diet or your stomach node can affect mm-hmm. your ability to operate your brain, your being in the head too much and your perception and worldviews and conditioning can also affect your ability to make better
yeah.
choices to eat right. And then in the heart is getting the worst from the both sides. It's getting the worst of it. And that's just, you know, it's like, oh my God, I'm getting toxified, and then by energy and also by food. So if they detox physically and detox mentally, the heart is able to open up as connections, make their strong connections again, I should say, or they reattach themselves. And at that point, that person is likely, if not probable, to be in a position where they can see fairies and also just have a general all around better life in every other regard. Right.
Absolutely. I do agree. I hadn't heard the three theory, but it makes complete sense. because a lot of times with my work, I mirror people and I feel things all through my body that they have been restricting and resenting and not wanting to feel for a long time. And so then that cues me in on different attributes and different directions for me to go in my guidance. But the body is like, it's like a flute, you know, you've got to play it. You've got to give it the right air, the right this, the right that, so that it can hit those notes. And so when people are just used to, you know, just certain notes, I think I dream in music. So, I mean, I think of notes and they're also vibrations and waves. And the whole point of the cultural meditation tours and the fairy experiences is to help them feel this new tone, this new tonality, this new wave. Even when I take them to Roscoe Chapel and I teach them how to not look but see the images in the paintings, that's amazing, especially just lately my groups have been seeing all the same image, which is even better. I love that. So people are, and you have to be really quiet in there, and I've taken spiritual groups, I've taken young people with cancer, you know, and the sad part about disease is, the good part for me is that they really will do anything to feel better. And if, you know, I really wish humans would just want to feel better, period, not have to be sick to want to feel, period. I mean, to feel better.
Well, and that's a societal, you know, that, and I'll let Corey touch on this, but that's a societal issue, is the, the not being appreciative of a natural healthy state. And you know what? I don't think we're at fault that much for it until we realize it, then we change it. Because society has been destroyed from the beginning, and children have been destroyed from the beginning with vaccines. Just terrible things that are done to the human's immune system. And they cut the cord right at birth, so all the nutrients and everything in the placenta doesn't, and the oxygen and the iron and the crucial stem cells and everything are just stuck there and thrown out as if it was trash, instead of filling back into the baby's body before they cut the cord. And then they do all these other crazy things. It's just terrible. And so people's immune system never is right from the beginning. And unless they're able to consciously throughout their life, and of course this means they have to grow up first, unless they're able to consciously through their life transmute their DNA back into a normalized, perfect state via meditation and conscious speaking to it. And even then, you're still being bombarded with chemtrails and GMOs and vaccines and all sorts of other stuff that are being snuck into the water and yada, yada, yada. So I don't think people actually have a true base point or reference point of what healthy really means, and therefore it's not really a priority to them, like you mentioned. Now, that's just my thoughts on it. I wanted to see what Corey has to say about it. Maybe he has some questions for you, Sandy.
Okay. No, that's a good point. I mean, human beings are very adaptable, and we adapt to our environment. So if we've been dumbed down, if we've been poisoned, if we've been mind controlled over generations, long periods of time, we adapt somehow, and that's a good thing. But also, as you say, what's the baseline? How do you know what you're capable of? How do you know what your baseline of operation is?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm about to find out. I'm doing some life experiments that will allow me and others that are close to me to find out what it's really like to return to wholeness and balance and vibration and stuff like that. So I'll just leave that as a little secret for those in the know. But
nice.
Corey, did you have any questions specifically for Sandy or anything? If not, we'll just let her go into a little bit more about what she's done and maybe some notable experiences or sightings.
Yes, and Sandy, you're operating out. Where are you located? Mostly,
my home base is in Cyprus. I call it the mythical land of Cyprus, but it's outside of Houston.
Okay.
I'm typically at retreats almost every weekend or every other weekend. I always say that camping is my kryptonite. I really enjoy being on the ground under trees and experiencing, you know, what nature has to offer all around. But I do work. I do see clients here in Cyprus, and I also see them remotely, you know, via Skype or even Messenger as we continue going forward. And then I have different retreats and workshops. They're on my website throughout the month so that people can come and join me for, like, a new moon sisterhood circle or a fairy experience. Or this morning I taught some energetic moves right before an ecstatic dance for the Rose Heart reunion in Austin, which was beautiful. And so there's lots of different opportunities. It's not just one way. It's really finding your expression, if it's in nature or with it, or if it's with music.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not, you know, I've lived most of my life off and on in cities, New York City in particular. And as much as I would encourage anybody to get out into nature, to get away from the cities, you know, there's also plenty of opportunity even in highly populated, dense areas. You know, the thing about that is that there's people there. So, you know, there's the possibility of finding kindred spirits in a highly populated area. That's one of the benefits, I think.
So, right. See, and people of like... I'm sorry, go on.
No, I was just saying, people of like mind, you know.
You know, Facebook helps with that. You know, Meetup helps with that. You find people who like vegan, avocado, whatever. You know, it could be something really small and, you know, different or off topic. And so they're finding more and more groups. And why I like that about Facebook. Facebook's always trying to share why you're so much alike each other. Because we are. We're 99.99% the same. We all want love. We all want great stuff for our family and our kids, and we want to be happy, and we, you know, we really do want most of the same things, but everybody's different, and going, you know, their path is different, and we have free will, so it's about our experiences and which way we want to go and just have fun. I mean, Earth is like a huge college. We're just here to have fun.
Well, that was I agree in the extent that was the original purpose, and over time there's been some shenanigans that haven't been addressed by the population that have converted into somewhat more of a prison. And, you know, to me, I always believed school was a prison. That was just my personal views. But what you're describing, I do believe exists as a universal model. I truly believe, yes, the Earth and other areas have been used as schools. Incarnations into bodies are used as lessons. To learn and experience different types of things as an individuation of source consciousness, yada, yada, yada. You know, I've been through all that. I agree with that. But I do also believe that there's some negative stuff happening here. And I believe also that the fairies and these other types of entities have been assisting in their own little ways, right? Maybe not directly, but their own little ways in dreams and so on and so forth for, you know, eons, like hundreds of thousands of years. And that's just my personal opinion. I think they've been around forever.
They have. And I truly believe that nature is the best teacher. You know, you don't need a tutor. You don't need any more books. You know, put them down. Go sit in nature for a while. Go take some time. Go for a bike ride. Pretend you're 12 again. And just hang out and just, you know, sit in the grass. Remember when I was a kid, I used to play outside with the neighbors till after dark, till 9 o'clock, you know. And I don't think kids really do that anymore.
Nor recess. There's no playing in recess.
I know.
Do you know why ADHD and ADD on his deathbed, the founder of that diagnosis admitted it was a fraud? I knew that the whole time. But what really is happening is the children have been given less and less and less ability or freedom to express themselves and interact with their environment naturally in a natural organic fashion, build sociodynamics. Mm-hmm. And so now what you have is socially impaired, retrograded, dumbed down for the most part, giving way to authority at any corner. You know, anytime any type of appearance of authority shows up in their life, they just bend over. There's exceptions, obviously, but this has been foisted on the masses, and it is healable, it is fixable. And I think some of these fairies have the ability or the magic to slowly heal these people through the types of experiences you're talking about. So if you guys have trauma, if any type of thing is happening to you, you're forgetting who you are. Yes, there's meditation. Yes, there's this. Yes, there's that. But if it was me, I would get some help, not only building my own strength, but also from these fairies, and maybe find out what Sandy Sparkle is doing down there Southern Texas.
I have clients all over because of the remote access, and actually my energy
good.
Is palpable. It works. It's almost fine-tuned, and I still get really great responses. And what I found, too, is that with your one lady just recently, she was wanted to work with me so bad, and she could feel all the energy moving for the first time in a long time, and then it just kind of dissipated. And finally, I kept wanting to talk to her, but I would forget what I wanted to say, and I thought, this is really odd. This doesn't happen. And finally, I asked her. I said, are you on antidepressants? And she said, yes. And so
there it is.
Like, it just keeps people, it keeps them disconnected. They can't even feel the energy move. And I said, you know, as soon as you get off, let me know, or I can help you with that. Because it takes time to get off. You don't just stop one day.
You can die if you stop. Did you know, Sandy, most people don't know this. I'm glad you brought it to pharmaceuticals. 9 out of 10pharmaceuticals are filled with additives that are not necessary. Well, everybody's like, okay, whatever. Here's the bad part. Guess what those additives are? Those additives are nuclear fuel waste, all sorts of industrial fuel waste, all sorts of alloys and metals that have not been fully tested. Basically, waste products from industry that people are trying to find a way to dispose of, and they can't do it lawfully. So then they go and they bribe and lobby and pay off the FDA and other people to allow certain allowable levels of these things in there. So when people take lithium, they're taking radiation and fluoride. So yeah, no wonder you were having problems. She's being poisoned by some of the most powerful atomic forces in the fucking universe.
And she's paying for it, it. The same thing happens for women and makeup.
The system makes you pay for your own destruction. They finance your own death. That is, and until you wake up and start living and dying a new death every day on your own terms and own accord with your own wealth. What I mean by that is your spiritual wealth, becoming a new person every day. Until you start doing that, you're really playing by their game. And I think people like Sandy Sparkle and others like myself and you are the way showers to show people, well, hey, our method's wordsmithing, or hey, this method's Buddhist Tibetan such and such om healing or meditation, or hey, this is Sandy Sparkle over here doing the fairy meditations and the guided energy clearings from wherever, remotely. You know what I mean? So that is something I think that our listeners, Sandy, would be really interested in, is in a second, if you can maybe get into some of the more notable healing experiences that you've had.
Okay. Well, I can say that, you know, right now, authenticity, you've talked about this, it is a currency, and it is out there, and people want to be so authentic. For instance, one of my Ascension Intensives, which is like a two-hour one-on-one with me, and I help you kind of go through different levels and find out where you are to help you be authentic. You know, she was just really tired of faking it. You know, she was in an unhappy relationship. You know, she felt she was doing things for other people all the time. She was never taking care of herself. And this mostly, I hate to say this, the tendency happens for women because we take care of everybody else and then ourselves last. So I feel like
that's
an
true
empowerment leader. And that's most of my clients are women. Or then also I work with their husbands or their business partners. And it's fantastic. I really enjoy my work. And actually, I had another couple come in who wanted to start a business. And I said, well, let's get you clear first and make sure the intention is right. So you don't, you know, waste your time and your intention right now. And, you know, it doesn't happen. And actually, they both have long histories of abuse in their families. And, you know, they were supporting each other and enabling each other. And I was like, okay, let me work with you guys separately. And then let's come together. And they're thrilled. They couldn't believe how much work we had gotten done in one session. One of the girls, she's like, oh, my God, I really need to fire my therapist. She's like, I've been seeing her for years. And she's like, you've done more in one session than, you know, would have taken years. So
Let me ask you a question.
It was really special.
Are you a licensed therapist?
I am not.
Okay, now, have you ever studied as an occupation or spent thousands of dollars to go to school for years to try to get some sort of certification that you're some therapist and you have the ability to affect these changes on people? Yes or no?
No and yes.
What I meant by, do you have any formal education that the normal system or government would accept as, okay, now you can actually do this? Probably not, right?
Well, I studied architecture at A&M. You know, I went
to
write.
It's not a bad thing. I'm trying to make a point, though.
Right.
Basically, what I'm saying is No, yeah. You do not have all the supposedly mandatory government forms that these therapists mm-hmm. and everybody else spends thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars on and dedicates their whole life to. And these people right. that have done these things are totally ineffectual compared to you. Well, how do we know this? Mm. Real life experience and testimony. I believe you. I know you're an honest person. So when you tell me the story of these people, I am listening mm-hmm. to their story. I'm not saying, oh, this is just some other third party interaction. I'm saying that's their story. And if that person's story is, I need to fire my therapist, you heal me in one day compared to all these other times that I've gone there, what does that say about your technique compared to typical psychotherapy? It says that you're the shit right. and you're blowing them out of the water, does it not?
Yeah. You don't need a degree. They don't
Corey
give
wrapped
degrees.
It up in a couple
and,
words. There it is right there.
Well, I can tell you that I really want a PhD, but three times I've applied, three times I've gotten in, not gotten in, and three times I've said no, because my intuition is like, fuck no, Sandy. Do not spend yes. $220,000 to go off for 6 years. You need to do this now. You need to help people now. You're helping them. You're doing this. You know, I've been to school. I've been teaching for over 31 years. Like, I started with group exercise, you know, in the 80s with high impact. And now I'm, like, meditation. I do partner meditation. I do so many different things, energy healing. I'm a Reiki master. I do theta healing. So I just show up. I just show up. And I focused on you, and as soon as you confirm your appointment with me, like, things start happening. I had one lady, as soon as she sent me money via Facebook, and she said, then she texted me later, she goes, were you trying to call me? And I was like, no, why? And she goes, my phone blew up. She goes, because she's in her own sales, and she's like, I've been trying to get these people to call me. As soon as I paid you, my phone went nuts. And I said, yes, it's karmic. I said, because you are working on yourself. And that's why things can come to you. You can receive. You know, we're tired of giving it away. You can't give it away. You have to focus on yourself. And I always tell people, everybody needs a mentor, even me. Like, everybody needs a mentor. We need kind of this guidance. And it comes and goes in different ways, but you have to invest in yourself. No one else is going to do it for you.
And pay yourself first and always be your own guide and with the inspiration, I should say, in your life. And it sounds like you've built your own real education, not a fake education. You've built your own practical, mm-hmm. hands on the ground, boots on the ground, you know, bloody, messy, whatever mm-hmm. things you've had to go through over the years. You've done it, and the grittiness, you've passed through it and come out on the other side a shining diamond, which is why you're able to have these effects on people. So, and I would say this, most people don't realize that there are blocks on some of the most powerful people. They're extremely targeted. So you would think that powerful people would be like, oh, well, they can just release their energetic blocks. Well, no, because number one, they're focused on helping less powerful people. And number two, they're huge freaking targets for these energy entities that are looking for a meal. And so these people are often the ones that really need help. And so when you work with other entities or other energies that are constantly cleaning you out, well, then you no longer need help and you can really fully help other people. And I liken that, Sandy said, invest in yourself first. I liken that to our little theory of the universal oxygen mask, which is put your own damn oxygen mask on first, and then you can start helping other people at full force. Instead of gasping for breath and barely helping people, you're still making a change, but you're slowly dying while you're doing it, never taking care of yourself. So we're basically saying the same thing, and I totally agree with you, Sandy.
Yeah, you know, and this, what I do happened organically. Like, there's a whole bunch of stories I've written. I've written a screenplay. I've written a book. I've written stuff that just hasn't been published, and I blog all the time. And, yeah, it got so bad, people would come to my door. I had somebody, like, come to me out of nowhere, because I would never push this. I would never say, hey, you need to be with me. I can help you live, you know. I don't even do that. People just kind of show up, and I thought, okay, now I can't even pay my phone bill because I've been giving everything away, you know. So I took some time off to really focus, center, and to do my own cleaning out and do my own work. And then I was like, okay, let's just keep going. Let's set up shop. Let's put some rates on this, you know. What does it mean? What does it look like? And let's keep going. So it just, you know, it just depends on you and just going slowly and taking care of yourself in the process, because yeah, I love you know, being called a badass, but it's like, yeah, I have huge visions. I have huge visions, and I really want these things to happen, you know, quickly. But I have to take time, and I have to enjoy myself, and I have to, you know, like go to Austin and take care of myself, or just, you know, go floating down the river. But I still get messages, and I still meet people, and it's just a beautiful thing. So it's really about finding what you want to give to the community and helping that fund your spiritual journey.
Excellent. Well, we're almost out of time for our show, but I did want to give you an opportunity to say whatever you wanted, maybe plug yourself, how people can find your blogs, or help fund you in some way and fund your mission. So yeah, if you just want to take a minute or two and tell people how to get a hold of you, what exactly you can provide, and yada, 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 all that stuff, any way you want, just feel free to do that, and then we'll close down the show.
Thank you, Jordan. Well, this has been a really great conversation. I am thrilled, and it's nice meeting you. Corey, right, is your name? Okay.
Corey.
Corey dropped off. Trying to get him back.
That's okay.
Sandy, it seems like Corey's dropped off. Continue, please. I apologize for the interruption.
That's okay. So I'm Sandy Sparkle, because it's about finding your own spark. It's finding your own sparkle. And people have called me Sparkle for years. And so finally, I just took on the name when I was at an event last year. I was at Burning Man. So you can go to my website, Sandy M. Castillo. That's spelled S-A-N-D-Y, M as in Mary, and then C-A-S-T-I-L-L-O.com or .org. I'm actually a patient advocate, is how everything started too. And so I work with doctors in the community. I work with a lot of people with trauma. I'm a cancer survivor myself. The prevalence of a disease setting in within 2 years of an emotional catastrophic incident is so high. So if there's been a divorce, a relationship, a move, anything within 2 years, a death in the family, and something's not right, then please call me. My number is 713-232-9796. Again, that's 713-232-9796. You can message me. You can leave a message, whatever you'd like to do. I'm also on Facebook as Sandy Sparkle Castillo. And I work one-on-one, so we can also just chat via Skype or Facebook. I do offer 30-minute breakthrough sessions just to see if it works for you and I, and you can meet me, complimentary, and then we can go over what kind of program I would suggest for you. I've had people come to me for a blocks of three sessions for 2 hours apiece with their business partner. I've had different clients once a week for up to 6 months. I end up, actually, once they get clear, I end up helping clear their house. Their job will change, and actually for them, for the best. And that's really great, because the universe starts responding to you once you get a hold of your inner flame, your inner sparkle, and you get really clear about releasing any blocks that aren't even yours. That's what's happening now, too, because there's a lot of ancestral stuff that's coming up that's just helping release. And then, you know, it starts out as, they're typically 90-minute sessions. They start out as a discussion, and they're usually I find a focal point. And then we'll go in, we use different things. I use a lot of energy techniques, including tapping, theta, Reiki. And so I kind of use whatever works best, because a lot of times it's about getting the brain out of the way so that we can do the work. So there's just, it kind of goes in, you know, there's usually excitement, there might be a tear, you know, there's usually like a, like what? I don't understand that. So it's about seeing things differently too. And then the last half hour is much more soothing and reprogramming in really good stuff, you know, that you are worthy, you are beautiful, you deserve this, and this is part of your happiness, and this is what you really want. I'm just a guidance counselor, so I would never tell you what to say or what to do. Sorry, that's my dog. So it's, you know, everything comes from you and starts and ends with you. And then typically, you know, the very first side effect that people love about my work is that you will sleep so well. If you can't sleep at night, or if you tense up at night, or if you grind your teeth, or you're just not even sure when the last night you had a really good night's sleep, then definitely give me a call. I work typically during the day and in the evenings. Sometimes if there's something really big and crunchy, I call it, to get out, then you can put your tablet on your chest and you're in bed, and we can do some stuff so that you can go to sleep afterwards and not think about it. Because it's typically your homework is to not think about it and drink more water and get some sleep. You know, if you want to eat, I don't know, orange juice or mac and cheese, you know, you've got to take care of yourself. But yeah, I do not support, and I don't tell you what to eat, obviously, but, you know, once you get clean, you're going to want to eat better too, you know, and once you start sleeping better, you're going to want to eat, you know, you might start eating three meals a day rather than two and driving through all the time. So it really kind of, the reverberations go through all your, you have 52,000 nadis within your body. So it's kind of like a conscious upgrade. And then it takes some time to like go through and filter through all of your energy bodies, all of your chakras. And so everything changed. Everything becomes a little bit shinier. That's why we call it sparkle too. Because if you're sparkling, you're good. You are just, you are, nothing bugs you, nothing triggers you, nothing.
Unfuckwithable.
Unfuckwithable, yes.
That's an actual term now. It's landed in the dictionary, so.
I saw a video about that. Yes, I saw that. So, you know, everybody's journey is different. I've seen those videos. I mean, I've had people suggest that I do that, you know, and there's some things I can teach to a mass group, but I really, really like one-on-one. You know, I really care about people and that. So it helps, and it's completely confidential. You know, and we kind of get the work done and you go on, you know, and you prosper.
Well, I think that's a fantastic thing for you to be doing for people. And if you could, real quick, maybe drop your contact info real quick again, how they can get a hold of you to get those services.
Definitely. You can call me, 713-232-9796. Excuse me. You can also email me, Sandy M. Castillo. I actually use my Gmail account. But I do have a website. It's sandymcastillo.com or .org. There's much more information. If you are a breast cancer survivor, you can see all the scholarships I've been on. I've been on like 16 in 1 year. They sent me as far as Africa. I've been everywhere. And then there's also information about cultural tours where I lead fairy experiences. I also take people to Labyrinth and also to Roscoe. I do different things like that. And then just my spiritual work. I call myself an intuitive guidance counselor, but I mean, it's a much more to that. And I don't have it on all the time because some people are scared. They're like, are you reading my mind now? I'm like, no, I don't want to read your mind. No, I don't want to do that. So, yeah, I just turn it on for you and then we turn it off, you know, because I'm really working on me too and helping the community. So, and,
well, Sandy, that's all the time we've got for today. I hate to cut you off there. We do got to run out here. But I do want to thank you and say we really appreciate you being on here today. I think Corey feels the same way if he's back on. Corey, you back on?
Thank you.
No.
He's with
okay,
the sun.
Well, it's just me. I speak for him. And to our listeners, if you guys want to find this episode, it's www.bbsradio.com/piercingtheveil. They're typically uploaded a few days after the date of broadcast, which is always Sunday, 5 p.m. Central Time. So again, Sandy, thank you so much. It's a pleasure having you on the show. I really wish
thank
we had
Jordan.
More time. If
so
you'd be
fun.
Open to it, we may have you back on at some point. Does that sound good?
I would love that. I love talking to you, and I can imagine your listeners. I would love to get questions, and if anybody would like to talk to me or submit questions, I'd be happy to answer them or put them on your website, Jordan, or on mine. It's definitely a great topic, and it kind of piques people's interest, and it's definitely out there, and it's definitely achievable. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, again, thank you so much. I agreed with a lot, if not all, of what you said, and you've really made a valuable contribution. It's been one of the better episodes we've had, all technical issues aside.
Thank you.
So I'll go ahead and wrap it up here. And I did want to say this. Next week, we're going to have our third session or third episode in the series called Let's Build a Community. Sandy, again, you're welcome to call in as a guest and maybe give your input there or maybe ask a question. We're basically going to be going over the requisite elements needed for finding the right people to build an intentional community, making it happen, and using high technology like hydrogen generators and things that the military is contracting with private companies to use to support their desert operations. Basically, things that pull free water out of the air, then use that water to burn as fuel, so you get electricity and water at the same time. Stuff like that. Just something cool that other people are not doing. So that's going to be session three. Let's Build a Community is next week. The number to call in for that, and I'll give it during the episode, is 888-429-5471. Choose station two and just say you're calling for Piercing the Veil. We'll take all guest questions and comments and suggestions and so on and so forth. We're going to have two main guests that episode. It's going to be Apollo Wilson, who we've had on before. He's an ambassador for Green Fire Ministries, LLC, which is an eco-village and permaculture ministry association. They do a lot of things, and he's been traveling from community to community across the nation. And then also my good friend and close business partner is Ross Diot. He's also been a guest on our show before. Actually, when we started way back in January 2016, I think he's the third or fourth guest that we ever had on. So definitely take a listen to that. And again, that's www.bbsradio.com/piercingtheveil. You'll find all of our past shows. I think we're up to like 51, 52 at this point. And a big shout out to our producers, Don and Doug at BBS Radio, the twins, the badass twins. And I think that's going to conclude the episode. We're going to wrap this up and say, until next time, pierce the veil and the truth will reveal itself.
Thank you.